Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you are as happy as I am today? You may be seated. Today I want to talk to you about the last week of Jesus' life. And before I do that, I want to welcome our internet audience, those of you who are viewing this program by whatever means you have joined us. We're very honored to have you. Thank God for you. The last week of Jesus' life is absolutely the most important week for Christians for many reasons. Now, the last week of His life, Jesus taught us many wonderful things, and we discussed some of those things in the previous weeks leading up to today. But the most important lesson that Jesus taught us this last week of His life on the cross, He taught us this. He taught you and me how to live through a bad day. The day that I'm talking about was a day of betrayal. It was a day of lying tongues, and it was a day of compromised courts. It was a day of brutal beatings and viciousness. How many of you know that humanity at its worst can be very vicious? It was a day of screamed curses and angry crowds. And it was a day of mindless mobs and jeering crowds. It was a day of violence on the heels of rejection. Have any of you ever dealt with rejection? Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. It was a day of stark loneliness in the wake of fleeing friends. Ever had friends in your greatest hour flee from you? Jesus knows what this is like. It was a day of dismal darkness, of thunder and an earthquake. It was a day of human arrogance and folly. It was a God-forsaken day in which God Himself was killed and He submitted Himself to the hands of His creatures. I want you to think about that today. It was a day beyond all others. But it was also a day like a thousand of our own in certain ways. Friends, I hope you hear me today, and I think you will. Bad days are commonplace in our world. Now, I want you to hear my heart today, beloved. This is not a cynical observation. It is an honest one. Bad days are commonplace in our world. And I'll tell you, we've got a Savior who had a bad day in one sense, as far as His humanity, but God turned it around for His good. Now, the similarities of what Jesus endured are very much like those that we often experience when we're going through a bad day. Come on now, bad days happen to everybody. Am I alone today? Come on. Bad days happen to everybody. And how many of you know there's even a children's book about it? Maybe you remember Alexander and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. You recall his day started, he woke up and he had gum in his hair. Then he goes to breakfast and his two brothers both find a prize in their cereal box, and all he gets is cereal. Anybody ever had those kind of days? That wasn't the end of it. He went to Dad's office, and there, the machine that you record papers on, guess what little Alexander did? He messed the machine up. Dad wasn't happy with him. And this was some of the good part of the day for Alexander. I read recently about a burglar who had a bad day. Maybe you read this in the newspapers. It says a burglar had done an excellent job of casing the house when the family left on vacation. He knew his heist would be easy. He entered the house just like planned and was startled by an unexpected voice, and it said, "Jesus sees you." He initially panicked but realized nobody could be at home. This voice repeated the phrase, and he shined his flashlight in the general direction. To his delight, it was nothing more than a talking parrot. He relaxed and turned on the main light switch, and to his horror, he saw a huge Doberman Pinscher crouched in the corner. Then came the voice of the parrot again. "Sick 'em, Jesus." Bad day to be a thief. Bad days are common to all of us. And what I want to do this morning for a moment, I want to give you four encouraging insights from Christ's words on the cross. We can be encouraged. And folks, listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God can serve a great purpose even in bad days. Number one, here's what God tells us to do on our bad days. He says, forgive everyone who is trying to ruin your life. Luke 23 and 34 says this. It says, then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now you think about it, folks. The blood of the Lamb was being spilled on the cross, and the work of salvation was almost complete. And Jesus is on this cross, and before Him is this hate-filled, antagonistic crowd jeering at Him. And our Savior teaches us one of the most important lessons in life that we can all learn. And here it is, how to forgive. Anyone need a little encouragement on how to forgive today? Let me tell you, I believe I'm around folks that know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, bad days are the result of things that happen. And things that happen are a result of what people do. People who misunderstood. There's more misunderstandings in this world that, I just wish that we could learn to communicate a little better. But more than that, when there are misunderstandings, learn to forgive. Bad days are a result because sometimes people do intend to hurt us. Maybe they're hurting. Have you ever heard the saying, hurting people hurt others? Here's another reason. People who forget or neglect to do something that we wish they would do. People who betray us or violate us can all cause a bad day. People whose injury done to us was either yesterday or yesteryear. I've been amazed as a pastor over the years, and I only say this to encourage you to let some things go, how someone will come and talk to you about something that's going on in their heart, about an unforgiveness or a problem, and then when you say, well, how long ago was that? Well, that was 20 years ago. Beloved, God wants us to learn to release the past. You see, to learn forgiveness, you and I have to have a starting point. And Jesus on the cross, beloved, points the way. He points the way. Think about what was going on with Jesus. They had beat Him till it says in the Bible that you could not recognize who Jesus was. He was a bloody mess. And Jesus on this cross, before His mother, where they had stripped all of His clothes off of Him, they had humiliated Him and they were screaming at Him. The same people that were blessing Him a week earlier when He came into the city were now screaming hatred to Him and screaming, Lord, crucify Him. Here on the cross, Jesus teaches us the most important lesson He could teach us, and that is how to forgive. Let me tell you, when we forgive people, it accomplishes some things. You see, forgiving those who harm us is the key to not being permanently victimized by them. Sometimes we think, if I hold on to this, I'm the better for it. No, you're not. You are victimized. I am victimized when I don't truly, from my heart, forgive people. Here's something else we all need to understand about true forgiveness. It comes from gratitude to God for His forgiving me. And not only forgiving me, but folks, listen. If we get honest and really do an honest assessment of our heart and of our lives, which is easy for me to do because of who I am and some of the things I've done years ago, I am indebted to God and I am grateful, and therefore for His forgiveness. There is no justification of my holding unforgiveness for anyone on the face of this earth. Forgiving others, my friends, is the first step toward living through a bad day. Think about it. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let me say, yes, in some cases people know exactly what they're doing. They intend to hurt us and they intend to harm us. But can I tell you, most of the time people don't even realize that they have hurt you and they have offended you, and we take offense and we carry this and we hold this for years. Jesus said the first thing to do to live through a bad day is forgive all. By the way, Jesus did that then, and Jesus is doing that now. Number two, when having a bad day, oh, listen to this, you need to aim your hard questions at God and not man. Matthew 27 and verse 46, and it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now here's the tried and true principle of how to live through a bad day. You must, my friends, aim your hard questions at God and not man. Now these are perhaps the most dramatic words spoken on the cross, because Jesus said this here, and I want you to understand something. He said, "Why? Why have you left me now?" He is crying out to His Father on the cross with this scene that I have described to you. And now He feels abandoned. And folks, let me just tell you, not only did He feel abandoned, He was abandoned. He was abandoned. He was forsaken of His Father for one reason and one reason only. It's so that you and I would never have to be forsaken or abandoned by God the Father. He experienced that. And yet He had a job to do. And while He knew that God was not with Him in the same way that He was prior to this rejection, Jesus went down into the grave. He went down into the earth. And I've already described to you what He did. But He took the keys of death and hell from the devil. That was His job. And He did that. But He had to be forsaken in the process so that you and I would never have to be forsaken. You see, the actual words where Jesus cried out are quoted directly from Psalms 22, verses 1 and 2, and I want to read them to you. Think about this. Are you sensing the agony and the sense of betrayal and the loneliness that Christ was feeling? Psalms 22, verses 1 and 2 say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Listen, beloved, here's the practical part of it for you and me. Why are you so far from helping me? Have you ever been there, my friend? Have you ever cried out and said, "God, why? Why is it you're so far from helping me?" And next, he goes on and says, "And from the words of my groaning," have you ever groaned and like, "God, do you care? God, do you hear me?" He said this in the rest of that verse. He said, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you did not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent." Jesus is describing what it's like when we go through a bad day. We wonder, "God, are you even hearing me? God, I'm groaning and I'm crying. I'm doing this at my lunch hour. I'm doing this in the evening. I can't even sleep good. God, are you hearing me?" You see, beloved, it appeared, and all signs would say that God is not doing anything in those silent moments, but far from it, God is always working in the silence. God is always active. God is always doing things. And I don't believe it's not that God won't speak to us, beloved, but I believe sometimes we're just not hearing what He is saying. But there is another thought that can be added here. A good teacher. I said a good teacher is silent during the test. I know we don't want to hear it, but from time to time, God has to. He has to get us ready for that new thing and that new level that He has for us. And He's been preparing us. And then comes test day, and we're like, "God, where are you?" He's still there. He's a good teacher. He's letting you take a test. And guess what? I believe by God's grace, we all shall pass the test that is before us. Even on your worst day, you're going to pass that test. Friends, I want to tell you something. Jesus was devastated by the separation of His Father's presence. Now, this is one aspect that scholars believe that was hidden from Jesus. Everything else Jesus knew, that he would experience. But the one thing that he did not understand is that in this process of dying for humanity and becoming the sacrificial lamb, that he would be separated from his Father. I don't think he fully understood that. And so Jesus was feeling this separation. Folks, have you ever been there? I think that's almost a ridiculous question to ask today. We've all been there. I pray that you never experience that. I pray you don't. I pray that you always know the nearness and the kindness of God. But let me tell you, if you ever have a bad day and you begin to experience this, I want you to know that God is working. God is there moving. He is a good teacher, and you're going to pass the test, and you are going to come out if you don't quit and if you don't faint, if you press on. You're going to come out on that new level and that new place of glory that God has for you. I think we ought to give God a praise this morning. You know, when you're having a bad day, there's a third point I want to share with you today. You need to be human enough to acknowledge your need. Now, this is not easy for us as human beings, but Jesus, there on the cross, he cried out for help. John chapter 19 and verse 28, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. I want you to hear my heart, friends. There is a design that God has for each human being. And that design is that we acknowledge our need for our fellow man. Is there ever a time in American history where we need to acknowledge our need on one another? If there's ever a time for Christians to acknowledge their need for their fellow man, it is now. And here Jesus is on the cross. He says, I'm thirsty. In other words, Jesus is saying, I need some help from my fellow man. Beloved, the Bible makes it very clear that as Christians, that we are interdependent on one another. Are you going to hear me today? This is the reason that we here at Church on the Rock believe so strongly in small groups. Small groups are such a valuable asset. Now, listen, when I mention this, don't, some of you, I don't want you to get condemned. I don't want you to say, oh, here he goes on small groups. Just hear my heart. We're with you. You're not a second-class citizen here. I want you to know my heart as a shepherd. I want you cared for. I want you to have friends who can pray for you in the bad days. Because, folks, you may not have had a bad day yet, but one day you will. And you need to spend the time and the effort getting to know a small group of people. We've got small groups that meet throughout the week and at various times. And if that doesn't work, help us. Talk to us. We'll try to get one started for the time that'll fit your schedule. Why? Do I just talk about small groups because I just want people clinging together? No, I know that we are interdependent on one another and that we need help. And it takes effort to get to know one another. I understand the fear factor involved. I understand that. Gosh, will people accept me if I go? What will it be like? Will I be able? Listen, some of you have been Christians a long time and we kind of forget what it's like. People struggle with this. Will I be accepted by the Christians? Well, I can tell you, you will. But we sure need to be aware of that. Folks, listen, when you're going through a bad day, you need to understand that you need to have some built-in relationships. One of the things that really blessed me this last week, our small group met, and I'm proud of our small group. One of the things that we did, we took on a project during our 40-day small group campaign, and we're going to the local nursing home, one of the local nursing homes, and one of the things we do is a practical way of just reaching out. Some of you remember, we ask every small group to do that. We ask you to do more than sign a check. We ask you to go out and get involved in the community. And thank God our leader took that serious. And we go about every 3 weeks now and we fill up these bird feeders for those residents there who may never get a visit from a family member or anyone else. And it may seem trivial, it may seem small, but let me tell you, you know when you go and you're a part of that, you are doing something and there is a fulfillment and an enrichment that comes into your life. And you know what we did? We went back to our leader's home. And you know what we did? We had a meal together. We didn't even have a Bible study that night. Oh. It's called fellowship. Sure, we need Bible study. We need fellowship. We need to be reaching out. And I am so honored to be a part of the small group that I am. Praise the Lord. We are getting to know one another, aren't we, Don? We're getting to know one another, and we're learning to pray for one another. Folks, listen, I'll move on in just a moment. But when I get to know you and you get to know me, then I'll really pray for you. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, I'll pray for you. But you really begin to understand what's going on in that person's life when you've made the effort to befriend them and to get to know them. And so, folks, I sincerely encourage every one of you to participate in our small group ministry. I don't believe for a moment you will regret it. And I believe it has the potential of making your bad day better. Amen. And finally today, and number four, when going through a bad day, you need to be assured that there is a purpose and an end. Listen to the words of Jesus on the cross. John 19 and verse 30 says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head," the Bible says, "he gave up his spirit." Beloved, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God was accomplishing eternal salvation. And you know what else is happening? The deliverance of mankind was possible. And it is possible today, as it was for Israel as they journeyed out of the promised land. However, everything about this day appeared to be a bad day. Can I just say to all of us today, God is not the author of bad days. I don't want any of you going away from here thinking that I said God designed some bad days for you so He could work something in you. No, God takes the circumstances and the trials and the difficulties of our lives, and He uses those to cause something good to come out of it. I want to leave you with this encouraging thought, that whatever you are going through, whatever the trial, whatever the struggle, maybe it's a health issue, maybe it's a friendship problem, maybe it's a marital problem, maybe it's problems with the kids, whatever it is, maybe you've been laid off from your work, whatever you are encountering, let me tell you what God does for the believer. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says this, and Paul says it very confidently. He says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." God is going to work those circumstances in your life out. Amen. When I never forget discussing some of these things with Winona. Listen, she really was highly disturbed, and we had to really encourage her, and I really felt like God gave me those words. Trust and Texas. That was her dream and has been her dream for many, many years. And I spoke those words to her. And let me tell you, Wednesday evening we're going to show you a little plaque that she sent Tracy and I with those words on it and a scripture. God was turning her circumstances around. Winona, at that point, was kind of giving up and losing hope and thinking, "Where's God? Why is God not answering my prayers?" And we were able to speak words of faith to her. Beloved, I want to speak words of faith to every one of you today. God will cause the circumstances of your life. God will cause this bad day that you are experiencing to turn into a good day. Bad days, my friends, don't last forever. There is a purpose and an end. Are you hearing me? When Jesus said, "It is finished," He knew that the work of salvation for mankind, the offering of His life so that you and I could have a relationship with God, He knew when He declared, "It is finished," that it was finished for you and I as well. In reality, all that God has planned for us, if we will stay true to Him, and I'm not saying it's always easy, but if we'll stay true to Him and we won't give up to the circumstances and the trials and the bad days of life, I'm telling you, we will arrive. And in that sense, our days are finished. Praise the Lord. Friends, this is how you and I can live through a bad day. You forgive anyone and everyone who seems to be set on ruining your life. Secondly, when the impossible questions come, which they inevitably do, you aim your hard questions at God. And whatever your adequacy is, never be above making known your need for your fellow man. And fourthly, embrace the certainty that God's finishes always have a purpose and an end. Can I pray for you as you stand this morning? I think more than anything, I want you to know this Easter Sunday is how much God loves you. I want every one of you to know that. Think about it, folks. The Bible says that He was in all of His glory, and God and the Son and the Holy Spirit got together and said, how are we going to redeem mankind? And it was decided among the Godhead that Jesus would come to this earth, that He would come and He would be born of a virgin birth, and that He would live His life and grow. And the Bible says that He did, and He grew, and He grew strong, and He waxed strong in wisdom and favor of God and man. But then the day came, after all the miracles and all the healing and all the provision and all the blessing, Jesus knew what the Bible said. He knew what had been decided, that a lamb had to be sacrificed. Why does a lamb have to be sacrificed? Folks, listen. To satisfy the justice of God. Though God is so loving and tender and kind, He is a God of justice, and His nature requires justice. And Jesus said, I will be that justice. I will go and I will give my life once and for all. No longer to go to a temple and offer multitudes of sacrifices. No more. Once and for all, I will become the Lamb of God, and I will give my life and I will give my blood. Leviticus says that life is in the blood. Until someone has given their blood, they've not given their all. Jesus gave His blood, all of His blood. He gave the ultimate, His life. We're so grateful for our military people who protect us and keep us safe. And we feel for them when they come back from the battlefield with limbs missing. And we honor them and we are so grateful. But folks, let me tell you, Jesus didn't just stop there. Jesus gave His blood. And He offered it freely and willingly. And I want to tell you today, here's what Easter is all about. It's about your forgiveness. It's about your relationship with God, and He has made a way. I'm going to ask us this morning to bow our heads. And if you're ready to have a relationship with God, I've found that when my heart is ready, when your heart is ready, it is so simple. It's not even about the words. It's not about the prayer so much as it is a heart attitude. If you're ready, if you just realize life is not right, something is wrong, and you don't know God, that wrong is that you don't know God and you're trying to live life without Him. I want to make a promise to you this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life. But I'm not going to embarrass you, and God's not going to embarrass you. But I am going to ask you in just a moment to acknowledge Christ, and we're going to pray together as a congregation. And so as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to just ask, is there anyone in this room today that would say, I'm ready to have a relationship with Christ? Would you slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up if there's anyone here today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to join these folks and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask my next step people to come to this altar now. And now what I want to do is they're coming. I want to pray with you. Let me just ask, is there anyone else that would say this morning, I know God, but I sense that I need to be closer to Him, and I want to return to Him this morning. Would you just raise your hand and let us see those hands? Yes, I see those hands. God bless you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Here's what I want us to do. I want to pray a prayer. And I want you to follow me today. And I want everyone in this room to repeat after me, because you never know what the person next to you really needs. So whether you need to rededicate your life to Jesus or you are coming to Him for the first time in your life, please, let's all pray together and just repeat after me. Could we do that? Let's bow our heads. Dear God, I want to thank you for your salvation. Thank you for coming to this earth and dying for me. Jesus, I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life, and I will follow you from this day forward. God, I want to thank you. My sins are forgiven. That I am new. And by your grace, I will follow you from this day forward. I want to say to those of you join us by the internet and other means, if you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer, praise the Lord. You are born again. You are a child of God. Go find a good church, a gospel preaching church. Get in it. Get involved. Let them water baptize you and begin to serve Jesus. And watch what God will do in your life. Amen. Can we give God a big praise this morning?